Greetings to each one this morning. It's good to see each one here. And I just want to take a second and say thank you for your prayers last Sunday. As we sat in the ER room, and I was there with Declan, and I wasn't planning on going there. I went to the doctor in the morning and was planning on coming back home, so I didn't have a cord, and I was afraid of my phone was going to die, and I couldn't get back in touch with Janice, and so I wasn't able to listen to the service, and I missed it. I missed being here with y'all, missed listening to the service, but I knew you were praying, and I just want to say thank you, and we are on the mend, and the message that I'm preaching this morning does not have anything to, not a lot to do with that, I don't think, although sometimes we do feel under the weather, and sometimes could be a little discouraging as we look at life. And this morning, over the last little while, I've been listening to the Old Testament, been listening to the travels of the children of Israel as they were in captivity, and then also getting ready to come out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And just been pondering over that and how that affects our life, how that parallels somewhat with our life. And this morning, I have a hard time with titles, and I didn't really have a title, but I think what I really want to stress this morning is just focus. Sometimes in life, it's easy to lose focus, and as I look at the children of Israel, I think that a lot of times they lost focus on what they were doing, where they were going, who was leading them, and it makes such a difference on where it took them and how it took them through life. I want to start out this morning with in Matthew chapter 16. I want to read there a little bit before I go on down into the rest of my sermon this morning. And I was going to read the whole chapter, but I think I'm going to run out of time, so I'm not going to read all of it. But I believe I'll start at verse 13, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. It said, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'Ye are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples not to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, to be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until the Son of Man, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now this morning, I thought about calling out to the children here, but Dale would say I'm one of them then, I'm sure, because you know, if you're eating a meal, you know, you usually end with dessert. Or you end, you know, desserts usually comes at the end, and I'm kind of starting with what I'm going to end with, so I'm doing both, but Dale would tell you I'll eat dessert on both ends, so, you know, so I'm going to start out, and this is kind of where, with the scripture here, Peter had Christ was telling Peter that he was going to die. Jesus was telling him that he was going to suffer and he was going to die. And Peter didn't like this. And Peter was trying to stop this. And Peter said, you know, he said, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus had to take stop him and say, God's plan is going to prevail. God is going to, what God's plan and God's purpose and where he was going, Christ was going to die. Peter wasn't going to stop that. And then Jesus went on to say, if we will follow him, we must deny ourselves. We will take up our cross and follow him. As we look into the children of Israel, actually, let me back up. God's plan will be fulfilled. How do you and I respond to that plan in our life? Today, as I want to talk just a little bit, I want to parallel the children of Israel and their journey as they were in Egypt and as they came out of Egypt and were on the way to the promised land. I want to parallel that a little bit with our lives and where we find ourselves today and how that parallels with our walk today. And there's three points that I want to make in that. And the first one is bondage. The children of Israel were in Egypt. Does anybody have any idea how long they were in Egypt? And that might be a little bit, that's not really a trick question. There's some debate on that, exactly how long, but the Bible says 430 years that they were in bondage. How many of those years were actually spent in Egypt? There's some debate on that. But it's a long time that they were in bondage. Sin brings bondage. But God is well aware of what is happening. In Exodus 2:23-25, during the period that the children of Israel were in bondage, it says the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked at the Israelites and was concerned about them. Or if you were to read it in the ESV, it says God knew. God knew what they were facing. God knows what you are facing. He is well aware of it. Our trials and their trials were not unknown to God. In fact, if you were to go back just in the chapter before that, I thought I had it written down here. It's the chapter before Exodus. So it had been Exodus 1, I believe it was. God was already putting a plan together. If you go back and read that chapter, is when Moses was born and his life was saved by placing him in a basket and then raised by Pharaoh's daughter. God was putting a plan together to bring them out of Egypt, to release them from the bondage. He knew. He was concerned about them. He was making a way. Then in Exodus 3, verse 7, it says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God wasn't sleeping. He was not unaware. That same God is well aware of what you and I are facing today. And then God came to Moses, and he called Moses to come and to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He had a rescue plan. God sent Moses to bring them out of bondage. He sent Jesus to bring you and I out of bondage today. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I came to you that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And what could go into the struggle for the bondage of freedom? As you look at the children of Israel, you could look at the plagues that they went through, the fight, the bloodshed, the cost, One could go into all that. I don't have time to go into that this morning. But sin costs, sin has a price, a high price. Today, Jesus paid that price for you and I. Much like the children of Israel, when they went into the bondage, we were in bondage. We groan. The weight of sin is heavy. God sent Moses and God sent Jesus to set us free. And the second part of the journey is where, the second parallel is the journey or the walk. And that's where most of us would find us today, or where it would find most of us today. We've accepted Jesus, freedom from bondage, and now we're on a journey. Some days, what a journey that is. Again, as we see with Israel, God's plan will be fulfilled. We can trust in that plan. We can trust in God and His promises and be part of that plan, or we can resist and not be part of the plan. God's plan will prevail. And God knows what is best. I found it interesting if you look into the children of Israel as God brought them out of Egypt and He started the journey, that they started into the wilderness. I don't know if you've ever taken most of your Bibles. If they have maps in the back, it'll show you a map of the journey and how they went. And I've always find it kind of interesting. It's always intriguing to me that God brought them out of Egypt and He brings them over into the wilderness. And if you look at it, it says, and it actually, you can go right along the sea at the bottom and go right in. It's a short route, is what we would call it. And He brings them across and He drops them down into the wilderness and takes them the long route into the wilderness. And we might ask the question, why? And God says it right there in Exodus 13:17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead him by the way of the Philistines. That was a short route, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Or we could say it this way. God did not take them by the way of the Philistines, which was the close way, because they might change their minds when they see hardship and they return back to bondage. You know, God knows you and I better than ourselves. If He would have asked the children of Israel right then, they probably would have argued with Him. Later on, they saw it. It's interesting. If you go into Numbers, this is in Numbers when He sent the spies into the land to go check out the land. And exactly this exact thing happened. The spies came back and they said, yes, that land flows with milk and honey, but they said, the people are great and we're nothing compared to them. And they exaggerated the story or the picture of how it was. And instead of trusting God's promises and what God would do for them, they said, let's go back to Egypt. And they did exactly what God said and why God took them this route through the wilderness. If you were to look through it, from what I could find, 13 times while they were in the wilderness, they complained, they murmured. And one could ask yourself, why? Why the complaining? Why the murmuring? What happened? It wasn't that long before. They had crossed the Red Sea, and God parted the way, separated them from the Egyptians, dried up the land they walked through, and they saw the Egyptians destroyed. And you can go back and you can read the song that they sang. They sang the song of how God delivered them and how great God was. And yet, a little bit later, we see they're complaining, they're murmuring, they've lost faith. What happened? They lost focus. You know, as I was studying, I thought again of one of Dale's sermons he preached quite a while ago. He's used this illustration a couple of times, that prop walk, where if you're not careful, it veers off. It'll take you off the side if you lose focus. When things didn't happen like they expected, or when they expected, They started to question God, and they began to look back. Sarah Groves wrote a song called Painting Pictures in Egypt. And there's a couple parts of that song that were interesting that actually described it pretty well. It said, how easy to see the good, but overlook what was hard. And she went on to say, the future seems hard, I want to go back. The past is so tangible, I know it by heart. Familiar things are never easy to discard. And she went on to say, I was dying for freedom, but now I hesitate to go. Caught between the promise and things that I know. Tangible things, things that we can lay our hands on, that we can touch. We enjoy them. We can feel them. We know them. Some of those things are hard to leave behind. Most of you parents, if you have young ones, you've probably heard your children say, or may have heard your children say, something that I don't want to die because I don't want to leave my toys, my, you know, different things. You can fill it in. Or you might have found yourself saying that, you know, say, well, man, I'm not quite ready to go to heaven because I kind of like this. It's tangible things, things that we have here, comforts that we have. And the children of Israel found themselves looking back at Egypt, at the good things that they had, and thinking, well, if they could go back to that, and yet somehow they didn't remember all the hardships that they had, the groaning that they had, the hardships they had back in Egypt. How often Satan would have us look back and paint a picture, leaving out the bad, to make one want to go back and question God. This life is a journey from bondage to the promised land. We're not so different from the Israelites as what we'd like to think. Satan would like us to do the same thing, to question, complain, and even give up. He would have us question, does God care? He would have us question, does God even hear my prayer? Has God left me alone? He would even have us question whether God's word is true and whether God's word will prevail. In times like these, we, like the children of Israel, can go back, should go back, and look at how God has prevailed, how God has done miracles, how God has done things in our life. In times like these, we can, like Scott, could go back and remember how he made it home. He didn't have to walk. You know, there's things that happen. I think each one of us could sit down and as we look back at our life, how God has answered prayer in our life, how God has answered and has done miracles in our lives. The children of Israel could have done the same thing. If they had stopped and looked back, God had moved over and over again for them. His promises were fulfilled. He was faithful. We need to focus on his faithfulness and on his promises. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1:17, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And if you were to go on down, you can go there and read that on down to verse 17. It goes on to actually describe the children of Israel and the different ways that they were tempted in the wilderness, the different ways that they complained, they murmured, and the ways that they went away from God. And Paul was calling us to take heed, to not lose focus. He reminds us to beware, because these things will separate us from God. He reminds us to be faithful, and God will fight for us. We were in bondage, God set us free. We're on a journey, God must lead the way. And then the final parallel is the promised land. The children of Israel were on a journey to the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. One may ask, why? Why would you say, why the terms flowing with milk and honey? If you were to look up, flowing means abundant. Milk sustains life, and honey is sweet or pleasurable. The idea of more than one would need and pleasurable. Jesus came that we could have a life free of bondage, abundant life in him. But also I like to think of the land, the promised land, as heaven. One of my favorite verses, I think I use this one a lot, and I probably will continue because it's one of my favorite verses. It's John 14:2, and it says, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." While the promised land that he was carrying the children of Israel to was a land with many good things. As we remember, the spies went back. They came back with a big bunch of grapes, pomegranates, figs. They said, yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet it was still a perishable land. It was still a land with troubles. The promised land that we seek and that we're traveling for, heaven, is much better than that. We can be face to face with our Savior, free from a world of sin and care. Let us keep focus. Let us keep our focus on Christ. Not look at the things, the hardships, the things that we face. When we face those hardships, may we go back and look at the miracles, the things that God has done, how he has moved to encourage us, that God is faithful and that he will carry us through. Again, Matthew 16, verse 24, and I changed the his and those to personalize it, and I said, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For what will a man profit you if it gains the world and forfeits your soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? For if you would save your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and will repay each person according to what he has done. We must lay down our fleshly desires, our ideas, our ways, and allow God to lead us. God's plan will be fulfilled. Christ came, and he's coming again. I can resist, or I can surrender and trust. God's plan is going to be fulfilled. What it changes is how it affects you and how it affects me. We are, as it were, on a journey through this wilderness. God is there with you. He hasn't forgotten you, and God will help you. And along this journey, God reveals himself. As you think of the children of Israel, they daily had food to eat, a reminder of God's promise being fulfilled. I often wondered, if you look at their shoes on their feet and their clothes, it says they never wore out. I wonder how long it took until they figured out that God kept those from wearing out. There are so many things along the journey that were there to remind them of God and his faithfulness. We serve that same God. There are many things, if we look, God reminding us of his faithfulness and his goodness, and that he will carry us and he will be with us. I want to end this morning with Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of God. May we, as we walk this journey called life, seeking the promised land, may we look to Jesus for our strength, keep our eyes on him, and endure until one day, not so far away, we too will inherit the land flowing with better than milk and honey. Reuben, do you have a song?
Yeah, 467.
All right, 467 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love. Thank you, God, that you are faithful and that you will walk with us. You promise that you will be there, that for every temptation that we face in life, that you will give us strength and that you will give us a way out. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can cast our cares on you and trust you. God, I just pray that as we go through this journey of life, help us to stand, help us to keep our focus on you and your goodness and your faithfulness. And God, I just pray for each one here this week. Pray that you would bless each one as they go from here. God, and just help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.